Well, before we begin, I'd like to read a note of thanks from the family. They wish to thank everyone for their overwhelming support, for the very many people who attended the house, to those who catered, and to those who brought gifts and provided meals and food. We will never forget your loving kindness toward us during this very difficult time. The family would also like to pay tribute to the emergency services, police and hospital staff that assisted both at the scene and at Craigavon Area Hospital last Thursday night. After the committal, everyone is welcome to the church hall for refreshments, which the ladies of the church have so kindly provided. The family would also appreciate if everyone would take the time to sign the book of condolences. That's from the family, and can I underline that everyone is welcome to come to the church hall for a cup of tea. We mightn't all be able to get in one go, but everyone is most welcome, and if you can't get in, wait in the warm and we'll seek to make sure that everyone gets some refreshments and opportunity to speak to the family. We're gathered here today to worship God and to remember our dear friend John Hillis and to sympathise with his family in their sorrow and loss. We do offer our sincere sympathy to Eleanor and to John and Eleanor's children, to Susan, Claire and Colin, and their marriage partners, Jack, Mark and Lynn. We also think of John and Eleanor's grandchildren, many of them here today, Andrew, Matthew, Catherine, Lydia, Anna and Nathaniel, who are over in Canada. We're very glad that Jack and Susan were able to get here to be here today, that their six children in Canada obviously can't be here, and we sympathise with them, and with the grandchildren who are here today, Rebecca, Jonathan and Caleb, and Joshua, Adam and Hannah. We also sympathise with John's sister, Jane, and her husband, Colm, as well as Eleanor's sisters and their husband. We offer you our sincere sympathy, and we assure you of our prayers to God that he will help you in this day of trouble. Often at funeral services, a great deal is said about the person who has died. But in a sense, there is no need to say very much, because we all knew John. And we know the kind of man John was. We know that John was a kind, loving, humorous, Christian man. And the qualities that, by God's grace, were evident in John were so enjoyable and of the most straightforward kind. And that's why we all like being with John. That's why we all enjoyed his company. John was born in Belfast, a son of Noel and Helen Hillis. He trained as an air compression service engineer. He met and in due course married Eleanor Hannah of Kilkeel on 5th of September 1970. Theirs was a strong and happy marriage, and I'm sure the family are well aware of that. John was no stranger to sorrow. His brother Geoffrey was killed in a road accident when only 19 years of age. Although they have been blessed and have three surviving children, John and Eleanor lost a daughter, Catherine, at an early age. Eleanor had come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before John, but John heard about the Lord Jesus often from his late father-in-law, and was born of the Spirit and brought to saving faith in Christ soon after Catherine's death. John and Eleanor lived in a number of locations, but especially in Carriduff for many years, and made many lasting friendships, as is very often obvious from this large gathering today. His warm and friendly personality attracted friendship, and especially the effects of God's saving grace in him, and his unpretentious ways, his meekness and gentle manner. He loved Eleanor very much. He loved his children. He had a great fondness for all children. Here in this church, many of the children loved John and he loved them. And no doubt that's true of the churches where they had worshipped over the years. He was deeply attached to his own grandchildren. He loved them very much. He loved to be with them. He loved to play with them and spend time with them. I am sure that the grandchildren, both those in Canada and those here today, will always remember their grandfather. But I want to say it to you, remember above all that your grandfather trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that in all your remembering of him, that you will remember this above all, that he trusted the Saviour and he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever else you remember, remember this, and follow in his faith in Christ, faith in Christ in this world, and to heaven to be with Christ in the world that is to come. We shall all miss John, his cheerful Christian fellowship and kindliness, but we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. He is now absent from the body and present with the Lord. We have that confidence, that assurance, that although we sorrow at his removal from us in this world, we know that God took him. God appoints the time and the manner and the means by which anyone is taken from this world by death. And that is true of John Hillis. The Lord in his wisdom has taken him from us, but we are confident that he is with Christ, which is far better. But as well as remembering John with great affection and sympathizing particularly with Eleanor and the family here, we are here to worship God. So let us do so. We shall, in the course of the service, sing some psalms that were particularly dear to John, and we shall sing them to tunes that he particularly appreciated. We begin our worship with Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise foretell, Come ye before him and rejoice. Psalm 100, and then we'll remain standing after the singing. We'll remain standing for prayer. Let us stand and praise God. And eternal God, we draw near to thee, the living and true God, through Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We bless thee, O Lord our God, that we can draw near to so great a God, through the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. O Lord our God, we worship and adore thy name, and acknowledge thy great mercy in causing us to hear the gospel of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How we bless thee, O God, and we bless thee that those who are thy people can ascribe the whole of their salvation unto thee, that it is by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, that Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, and according as it is written, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. O gracious God, we thank thee that there is forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, that he bore the sin of many, that he bore thy wrath in the place of his people, and that none perish who trust in him alone. And we come to thee, O God, in this time of sorrow, and we acknowledge, O God, thy hand. We pray that we might have grace to submit to thy providence, even like the psalmist, saying, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Truly, thou art righteous in all thy ways, and holy in all thy works. And, O God, we cannot quarrel with thee, and with thy ordering of all things. And yet we come to thee with our sorrow, and we pray that thou wilt look upon us in mercy, and help us and strengthen us. We pray, O God, especially for the more immediate family. We pray for Eleanor, that thou wilt help her greatly in thy grace, that thou wilt give much strength and much upholding and much of the comforts of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing to Susan and to Claire and to Colin. Grant thy help to them in the loss of a godly and loving father, and be gracious to them. We remember too Jack and Mark and Lynn, and pray for thy abundant blessing and help to them. And, O God, we pray for the grandchildren, that thou wilt be gracious to each one of them, and that thou wilt give to them memories of their grandfather that incline them to walk in the truth and in the faith. We pray, O God, that word might be fulfilled. Thy mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and thy righteousness unto children's children. Grant thy blessing to the grandchildren in Canada. Be gracious to them, to Andrew and Matthew and Catherine, to Lydia, Anna and Nathaniel. Watch over them and comfort them in their sense of loss and yet being so removed by distance. Grant to them much comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to the grandchildren here, grant thy blessing, we pray, to each one of them, to Rebecca and Jonathan and Caleb, and to Joshua and Adam and Hannah. Grant to them, O God, much of the comfort of thy truth, and bless them. We remember too John's sister Jane, and her husband Colm, and Eleanor's sisters, and pray for thy blessing upon all of them, O God, that thou wilt be gracious to each one, and give joy and peace in believing, and abounding hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. O Lord our God, what is man, for his days are as the grass? And O God, we acknowledge before thee the solemnity of this work, this act of thy providence, and pray, O God, that we might learn thy truth. O God, our life in this world is but a vapour that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Grant that we might, by thy grace, all be prepared for that world to come, that world that never ends. O gracious God, grant that we might be prepared for eternity. Oh, for it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Grant that this day might be a day of strengthening for thy people, and of awakening and turning of those still in darkness and in the shadow of death, that sinners might flee from the wrath to come to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. O gracious God, grant that this day sinners might seek the Saviour of sinners and find refuge in him. So hear us, O gracious God, look upon us as thy word is read and preached. Grant to us the strengthening of thy spirit in preaching and in hearing. Grant that thy word might prevail in our hearts, and all that we ask is for Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. We further sing to God's praise in Psalm 40. Psalm 40, I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. He took me from a fearful pit, and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. He put a new song in my mouth, our God to magnify. Many shall see it and shall fear, and on the Lord rely. O blessed is the man whose trust upon the Lord relies, respecting not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Psalm 40, these four verses, and we're singing to the tune Effingham. And we'll stand and praise God.
Yeah.
We read from the Word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1 and from verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and from verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God, and we look at those last two verses. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Our subject is simply this: the word of God lasts. The word of God lasts. We live in a world that is dominated by the short term. Quick success, immediate communication, short term pleasure, short life items for purchase. Everything is rather short term. But we are not inclined to think that life itself is short term. Life in this world is short, and then we go to our long home. Even those who live long feel that life has passed quickly. When Jacob met Pharaoh, he said, few and evil have been the days of the years of my pilgrimage? Few. He was 130, but they felt few days. Life will always seem short, because it is. But those who are born of the Spirit have a union with Christ and with one another that will endure. In verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Those who are born of the Spirit and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, of which the earlier verses speak, they have a union with Christ which will never be broken. And even their fellowship with one another, though interrupted by death, will be resumed in a glorious world to come. Learn this. Firstly, this life ends. This life ends. All flesh is as grass. You say, well, that's stating the obvious. We're here at a funeral, and every one of us, our turn will come when it will be our funeral. You say, but that's obvious. Yes, it is obvious. But we are experts at ignoring it in practice. When this text says all flesh is as grass, the word flesh is used in Scripture of man in his fallen condition. Man since the fall. Sometimes it's used of his sinful nature. So the Apostle Paul says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. But sometimes it's used of our physical state, but with particular reference to our weakness, our frailty, our mortality. Every one of us is dying. Every one of us is mortal. Death is universal because sin and guilt is universal. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death may seem normal to us, but it is universal because sin and guilt are universal. The second thing is this. All achievements without Christ come to nothing. All achievements without Christ come to nothing. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. Yes, all right. Some high achievers, they have a glory, but it no more lasts than the flower of the grass. It comes to an end. It's blown away just the same. Death comes upon all. And all that the unbeliever, the unconverted man, all that he has, and all that he loves will slip from his grasp. And that's true of you. If you're not a believer upon our Lord Jesus Christ, all that you live for will be taken from you. If not in this world, then when you leave it. The only thing that will not go is your guilt before God. That will cleave to you forever under the wrath of God in the pains of hell. The Bible is quite explicit. There is a heaven, but there is also a hell. The loving Saviour spoke plainly about both. Those things that seem so important while you're in this world, they will fade into insignificance when facing the God of heaven. We can pretend that God is other than he has revealed himself to be. People do that, don't they? They say, I like to think God is like this. My idea of God is this. But you know, your idea, my idea of God is worthless. Christ said to the woman of Samaria, ye worship ye know not what. Because her religion was not based upon scripture, but upon her own wishful thinking. The God of the Bible, the living God, the God who has told us what he is like, he's a just God. He is just, essentially just. And therefore just in all his dealings with men. You may resist that thought, but you will not change him, and you will not prevail against him. Leave this world unforgiven by God, and your ruin will never end. But thirdly, the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. It is unchanging in its truthfulness. Truth is not relative. That is, there is no one truth for you and another for me. That's a modern idea. It's not that modern, but it's become popular. Find what suits you. But there isn't truth for you and different truth for me. There is absolute truth. And it comes from God. He has given it in the Bible. Left to ourselves, we're in darkness. But God has spoken to men. We cannot find truth independently of God. God has spoken. God has revealed himself. God has given us his word. Truth is fixed for all generations in the word of God. All that the Bible says about God is true. All that it says about what God has done is true. He created all things. That's why, as his creatures, we're accountable to him. Alternative ideas of the origin of the world and of man are popular because men want to believe that they are not accountable to God. But we are. There is a God in heaven who made us, who will call us to account. But this God, in his great love towards sinners, sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, into this world to fulfill all righteousness, because he never ever sinned. The Lord Jesus never sinned. He's not like us. We sin constantly, but the Lord Jesus never sinned. And yet the Lord Jesus bore the punishment of sin in the place of guilty men and women. He bore the sin of many when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because he was bearing the wrath of God. God takes sin seriously. God punishes all sin, every sin. Those who are in Christ, he has borne the punishment for them. Those who are not, and who leave this world in that state, will bear their punishment themselves. The Bible is true in what it says about God, in what it says about the way to God. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And all that the Bible says about what God will do is also true. He hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The Lord Jesus will divide between the sheep and the goats, and the one will go to everlasting punishment, and the other to life eternal. All that the Bible says about the way of salvation is true. What it says about you as a sinner is true. What it says about God punishing sin is true. And what it says about the way of acceptance with God is true. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. The Lord Jesus is the way to God. We must give up any idea that we can earn our salvation by our efforts. We're sinners. And even when we do the right thing, we do it for the wrong reason. We do not by nature love God. We're sinners. We can no more clean ourselves up than someone with filthy hands can make themselves clean. We're corrupt and filthy. But the Lord Jesus is the Saviour. He's the Saviour you need. He's the Saviour John Hillis trusted in by his grace. And he's the Saviour you must seek and find while you're in this world. Because God's word is eternal in its effects. It deals with eternal matters. It deals with things that last forever. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Only those who believe in Christ, Christ the sin bearer, and who trust in him, only they shall go to heaven. Those of whom it is true, what we have in verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Those who are redeemed by Christ, those whose confidence is in him, they can have the hope of heaven. At death, their souls go to be with Christ. That's why we have joy in sorrow this day concerning John. That the scripture says that those who die in the Lord, they are absent from the body and present with the Lord. That they are with Christ, which is far better. Christ said to the believing thief on the cross, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And at the last day, the body that has lain in the grave, Christ will raise to be made like unto his glorious body. Deliverance from sin and all its effects. But for the unbeliever, the very opposite is the case. At death, the soul goes to hell to be in torments, and the body will be raised to damnation, and body and soul shall be cast into hell. This word is eternal in its verification. The eternal world, the blessedness of the redeemed, and the miseries of those condemned will both testify forever and ever that God was true, that that Bible that was read on earth and its truth proclaimed was none other than the truth of God. The eternal world will be an everlasting fulfillment of the word of God given on earth. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And it is preached unto you. To you is the word of this salvation sent. God in his providence has brought you here this day through the death of one of his saints. He has brought you here to hear the word of God. And God's way of salvation is declared freely to you in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But with hearing the gospel comes greater responsibility to receive it. By God's sovereign mercy, John Hillis was enabled to embrace this gospel. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's our confidence concerning John. Hence our joy in our sorrow. But to those who live still in this world, let me say, this gospel is preached to you and must be believed by you if you are to go to heaven instead of hell. The scriptures make clear, God will receive all sinners who draw near through Jesus Christ. And he commands and invites sinners to come. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The Lord Jesus, when he was in this world, said to poor sinners, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Seek him. Seek the Lord. Seek the Savior who saved John Hillis. Seek him while he may be found. Amen. Let us pray. Let us stand for prayer. O gracious and eternal God, we come to thee through Jesus Christ, Bless thy word to all our hearts. Enable us to receive it. Deliver us from a stubborn heart and a proud neck. And grant to us, O gracious God, the grace of the Spirit, that the word might prevail in each of our hearts for the strengthening of thy people, their encouragement in the hope of the gospel, and to the effectual calling of those who are without Christ. Hear us, O gracious God, uphold thy people, uphold Eleanor and the family in the further time of worship and of committal, and grant thy help to them. Hear us, O gracious God, and all for Christ's sake. Amen. Please be seated. We further sing to God's praise Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, yea, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. We'll sing the whole psalm, Psalm 23. We'll sing it to tune Allington. It's a tune that John was very fond of. It involves a repeating of the third line. So Psalm 23, and then if you remain standing for the benediction. Let us stand and praise God.
Amen.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen.